Now will you turn with me again, please, to 2 Corinthians and to the chapter 4. And we are taking as our text this afternoon the verses 16 through to 18. But in particular the opening words of verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Let's just seek God's help in prayer, please. Our gracious Father, we do long for thy help and assistance in both the preaching and in the hearing of thy precious truth. We know that no work of grace can be wrought because of anything that we do. We cannot create an anxious thought, nor can we stir up faith in the heart of another. But we can be faithful to the Word of God, to what it proclaims. We would seek to pronounce this afternoon that wonderful and glorious message of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting that as we do so, that thy Holy Spirit might come and bring thy Word to life within our hearts, that it might spring forth and bring much fruit for the glory and honor of thy name. May it be used this day for the building up of thy people, for the restoring of the cold of heart and the backslidden, and for the salvation of the lost. These things are beyond our control, and therefore we leave them in the hands of a sovereign God to do as he will and to glorify his great name. We ask these things through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me begin by asking you what I hope is a rhetorical question. But did anyone come here today hoping or longing for someone or something that would strip away all your hope and discourage you? No, I didn't think so. None of us came to the house of God to be discouraged. We didn't come hoping that someone would knock all of the wind out of our sails, or that they would say something or sing something that would strip away all hope from us. No one came saying, "Please strip away all of my motivation for serving the Lord and discourage me and defeat me in my personal walk with God." We came looking for the opposite. We came looking for encouragement and seeking hope and desiring to be motivated to do greater things for the Lord, not less. We came looking for help from on high to walk with God more faithfully and more humbly, to be more effective in our work and our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us came to be discouraged. We came looking for hope. Now, if I were to tell you that there is a secret that would allow you to have hope in this world, would you want to know what it was? If I could tell you that there is a way that you could live your life each day and not lose heart, would you stay a while and listen? I hope you will. Because the Apostle Paul tells us that he has found that secret of how to remain encouraged in the things of the Lord. Therefore he says in verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." And he makes an incredible statement, "For which cause we faint not." The word faint refers to a feeling of the heart. So Paul is saying here, we do not lose heart. Regardless of what comes our way, we never give up. We don't give in. We don't lose heart. We faint not. And yet it's so easy for us to lose heart, to come to a place we were ready to throw in the towel, to lay down our burdens, to just quit what we are doing. It seems to me, as I read the Bible and read the life of Paul, that it would have been so easy for Paul to lose heart. So many were the discouragements that he faced and the disappointments that came his way, and yet we find him saying that we faint not. Well, I don't believe that he's bragging. He's simply making a statement of fact that he has discovered the spiritual secret that enabled him to remain positive and encouraged even in the middle of circumstances that would have discouraged anyone else. Because Paul's life was anything but easy. In chapter 1 of this book of 2 Corinthians and the verse number 8, we read these words: "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired of life." Paul knew all about troubles and all about difficulties, so much so that he could say that we were pressed out of measure and above strength. It was more than what we were physically able to deal with. In chapter 11 of the same book, Paul says in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice or 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeying often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak? And am not I weak? Who is offended? And I burn not." And yet, in spite of all of those trials and tribulations and burdens that he faced, Paul was able to say, "I never lose heart. I faint not." Is there truly anyone here that could echo that statement and say that I never get discouraged, or I never want to give up, that I'm always excited and encouraged and energized about my life and my walk with Jesus Christ? Is there anyone truly that can say with Paul today that I never lose heart? I think not. We all stumble from discouragements to disappointments. There are always times that we feel like giving up, just to stop and give no more, because we feel that we have given all that we have to give already. Most of us at times can feel like David, who said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. If only I could leave all of my troubles behind." If we're honest, we'd all have to admit that there are times that we wish we could sprout wings and fly away from troubles and trials and difficulties. I know, speaking personally, there are many times I've been in that place. And while there are times when leaving troubles and afflictions behind seems to be the best option, I'm more interested in reaching the place with Paul where I can say, I faint not, and I don't lose heart. It's an incredible statement. And with that incredible statement, there is a very familiar struggle. We've already admitted that it's easy to lose heart. And the reason that it's so easy is found here in verse 16. Paul speaks of a struggle that we all face as Christians. He says, though our outward man perish. The reason that we so often lose heart is that our outer man is perishing. And by the outer man, Paul is referring to that fleshly part of us, our body and our mind. And I suppose we are beginning to experience the results of aging in the body and sin in the mind, and how those things can conspire to strip away joy and hope and peace from our heart and from our mind. Our outer man is perishing. The word perish here in verse 16, it simply means to rot. We're corrupting. Our outer man is being destroyed. The same word is used in other places in the scripture that hammers home that thought. In Luke 12 and 33, the Savior said, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. The idea of it being eaten away, corrupting, perishing. And just in the same way that moths would destroy clothing, the outer man is being eaten away every single day. In Revelation chapter 8, we read of the second angel that sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And that word destroyed in Revelation 8 and verse 9. A third of the world's ships capsized, consumed, sunk, destroyed. The outer man is being destroyed by pains, by problems, by burdens, by trials that are thrown against it. The reason that we are so prone to lose heart is because our outer man is being destroyed, corrupted, ruined, perishing every day. We understand that. And the older that we get, the more that we find that our body and brain don't work the way they used to. Our lungs, our liver, our heart, our muscles, our bones are wasting away. And as old age encroaches, we find that to be more and more the case. We are perishing. We are being consumed, we are being wiped out. The destruction of the outer man comes from two main sources. Firstly, our fallen nature. The whole natural world is under the curse of God because of sin. It curses every faculty. It brings about every pain, every suffering. We know, Paul said, that the whole creation groaneth and prevaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. God, as He saves His children, saves us in stages. Now, don't misunderstand me. If we are saved by the grace of God, we are forgiven, we are justified because of what the Savior has accomplished at Calvary. When we come to Him in faith and repentance, He eternally saves us from the penalty of our sins but we are not yet freed from the corruption and death of this world. There will be a day when we will be glorified and brought into God's presence, but it's not yet. It's not yet. And until that day should come, we, like the creation around us, groan, awaiting the full redemption of ourselves before God. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, until that day should come, we will waste away. And should we manage to reach old age and slip out into eternity, the outer man perishes. We know, Paul says in verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Even though we are converted and God's Spirit abides within us, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are fragile. We are jars of clay. And one day our vessel will crack and break and we will leak away. That is the nature of life. The outer man is perishing. Our fallen nature sees to that. Our problems come from ourselves within and from others around. One of the reasons that we so often lose heart is because of other people. The foolishness of a fallen man that causes him to get drunk and get behind the wheel of his car and plow into another and take their life. The fallen nature that leads people to strap bombs to their bodies and walk into city buses and blow themselves up. That causes terrorists to go to shopping malls and kill people. Fallen people would discourage us, would hurt our feelings, would cause us to faint and to feel, be it physically, verbally, spiritually, emotionally, we lose heart. We are troubled on every side, Paul said. It's so easy to lose heart, to come to the place where you want to quit. But we don't have to. That's what Paul is saying. You don't have to become just another statistic. You don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God. You don't have to be one of those people who used to go to church, who used to be faithful. You can reach that place where you do not lose heart, where you can press on in spite of all of the things that are pressing down upon you. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, Paul says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's the wonderful secret he's been promising. Though our outward man perish, I faint not because the inward man is being renewed day by day. If the outward man speaks of our fleshly body, then the inward man speaks of that new creation in Christ, our soul, our spirit renewed by the grace of God. Here's the wonderful secret to not losing heart. The inward man is renewed from day to day. There's some wonderful promises there. There's a promise for fresh strength for every day. Renewed day by day by day by day. While the outward man grows weaker and nearer to the grave, the inner man is being renewed daily. The word renewed means to renovate. If you've ever renovated a house, you'll know what Paul is speaking about. You strip away the old things that are worn out and replace them with something new and fresh. Well, the inner man in Christ is given new strength, new grace every day. In Matthew 6 and 34, Our Savior said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." With each day, God has promised new grace. And while every day brings its own unique problems, every day will bring its own measure of grace to deal with them. Here's God's promise. Here's what the scriptures tell us in Lamentations. "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." We are renewed day by day. In Deuteronomy 35 and verse 25, the Lord promises his people, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians verse 9, Paul has been praying about that thorn in his flesh, and God has told him, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." The inner man is being renewed every day. It's not a one-time offer that God gives to us. It's the guarantee of daily strength and daily renewal. God is offering that we might drink of the fountain of life every day. And as we do so, the inner man will be renewed, renovated, refreshed day by day. The outer man is perishing, growing weaker and weaker, but the inner man is growing in strength. Growing in strength. We don't expect our physical bodies to continue day after day without supplying it with its necessary food. Our bodies are not meant to run on last week's food. We need to refill the tank every day. Well, in the same way, our spiritual metabolism cannot survive on last week's meals. We need to eat fresh food every day for the inner man. We need to be in the place where we are hearing God's word and reading God's word and meditating upon it and fellowshipping with the saints, so that our inner man is being renewed day by day. Or as one old saint put it, our bucket leaks. We leak. And even though we might feel filled with the grace of God and revived in spirit today, we leak. And we need to be renewed and refilled every day. What we brought up from the well yesterday will not be sufficient for the trials that we face today, because we leak. There is no single spiritual meal that will pour your life for months at a time. The Savior taught us to pray, "Give us each day our daily bread." Not just bread for our body, bread for our soul. Fresh bread. That's what we need, the inner man being renewed day by day. Therefore, we need to feed our souls on the Word of God. We need to pray to our Heavenly Father every day. We need the fellowship of the saints of God to encourage us. Going to church once a week or once a month is not going to get the job done. We need fresh supply every day. Is it really any wonder why so many lose heart? They are making no investment in the renewing of the inner man day by day. They feed their bodies, which are perishing every day. They put petrol in their car in order to keep it moving forward every day. We go to the doctor and take our medicines and seek to take care of our bodies, which are perishing, yet we make no provision for the inner man. That's why we lose heart. Because we have our focus on everything but the one thing that really matters. Our relationship with God. And we need to maintain that relationship with God, renewing it day by day. Now Paul would remind us in verse 17 that nothing that we face in this life is forever. He speaks of our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How is it when our trials come that they never feel like light afflictions? And they never seem to last just for a moment. This light affliction is translated elsewhere as tribulation or trouble and pressure. And the word light simply means easy. Paul says that to be under such pressure is easy. That's not how it feels, is it? That it's easy? How can Paul say this? When every time we go through a trial or a difficulty, it seems so heavy. And those trials that Paul says only last for a moment, how comes it seems they never go away? How it feels that we'll break under their weight. And those things that he says are but for a moment seem to last and last and last. Because Paul compares them to what he describes as the eternal weight of glory. That which we will experience when we arrive home in heaven, he says, will make everything seem light and easy. He says, by way of comparison, the things that we endure now upon earth will seem so little compared to the wonderful blessings that God has in store for us. For I reckon, Paul said, Romans 8 and 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Nothing that we face here upon earth is worthy to be compared with the glory that we will experience in the presence of God. Our problem is we don't believe that. We believe in what we see and what we feel. And we never believe that that pressure upon us is anything but easy. We never hear one testify about their problems and say they're of no consequence, they're light. But the reason Paul says this is because he's looking at things from a different perspective. We have our eyes fixed upon the things here and now, and all we see are the trials and the troubles and the difficulties and the outer man that's perishing. Paul has his eyes fixed not on the here and now, but upon heaven. While we look, he says in verse 18, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Here's the secret, Paul says. Get your eyes lifted off the temporal, the earthly things, the things that remain only for a short time, and lift your eyes to heaven, to the eternal things. There's where our hope lies. That's why we can say that the afflictions are but for a moment. Or as the psalmist put it, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The secret to not losing heart is keeping a proper perspective on all that's happening. To keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. To get your eyes away from the things of earth and have them fixed upon the things of God. And when we have that proper perspective, then we'll not lose heart. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 of Moses, who by faith forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Pharaoh was after him with all of his army. His chariots were chasing him down. Yet Moses did not fear, because he had his eyes fixed upon him who was invisible. That's how Abraham made it through. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, that he obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't focused on what was happening around him. He had his eyes lifted heavenward. It's how Stephen, the first Christian martyr, made it. Those stones were raining down upon him, filled with anger, hurtling towards him, painful as they hit his body, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's how we endure. That's how we don't lose heart. We have our eyes fixed upon God. And we have this wonderful assurance at the end of verse 17 and verses 18 that the things that we face in life, they have purpose and they have meaning. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. That's an amazing statement. When things happen in our lives, we look at them and think, what was the point of that? That was so meaningless. We wonder how something so painful, so senseless, so tragic, can have any purpose or any good attached to it, but God assures us that it does. If you're a child of God, then nothing that happens in your life is meaningless. It's part of God's perfect plan to develop you as his child. Let me remind you that God has not saved you to make you happy. He hasn't saved you merely to bless you. He has saved you to make you more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is his eternal purpose. That's why Paul could say that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Nothing in your life as a Christian is meaningless. Some things appear to be that way, but I'm fully convinced that the things in this life that seem to be the hardest and the most difficult will be revealed in eternity as the times when God was working more powerfully in us and through us. And the Lord uses the wonderful illustration of the potter and the clay. And you can picture the scene where the potter has his wheel spinning and the lump of clay before him. How does he make that lump of clay into something meaningful and purposeful? He applies his hands to it. And as he adds pressure, the clay is shaped and molded into a vessel of honor. Listen to me. When sickness comes, when our life drains away, it's not meaningless. When our heart breaks and our dreams shatter, we look for the purpose of God. When that loved one dies and is ushered into eternity and it feels that all the world is pressing down upon us, look to the Lord. Don't lose heart. Look for that teaching moment where God is making us more into the image of his Son. It's not meaningless. These afflictions work for us. It's the hand of the potter upon the clay, moving us into place and position that we might be more like Christ. They're working for us. Oh, that we might say with Paul that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. How is it that we don't lose heart? By seeing to it that the inward man is renewed day by day, and by keeping our eyes fixed upon the Lord, knowing that all things work together for good to them that know Him. Let's not become disillusioned, or defeated, or discouraged, or lose heart. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon Him who endured all things for us. Keep your eyes upon the sea, and not upon the wind and the waves that seem to buffet and to blow. Peter learned to his cost that when he took his eyes off Christ, he began to sink. But looking to the Savior, he could walk across water and could accomplish all things through Christ which strengthens. May we not lose heart. May we know the grace of God from day to day. May we be built up daily in the inner man. May we be looking to God for sustaining grace and power. And may the Lord Himself draw near, provide us with that daily strength, and make us more and more into the glorious image of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this afternoon.